Hello and welcome back to The Social Disease. I'm Jasper.
And I'm Bridget.
And today we're continuing with season three. We got a whole square of characters. We got Emma, Sean, Ellie, and Snake, aka Mr. Archie Simpson. We usually don't focus on the adults too much, but Snake is pretty relevant to like a lot of things that Emma goes through at least. And he has his own little stuff too. So we're just gonna throw him in there too. And I think we're going to start with him.
Let's do it.
So Snake's whole thing in this season is that he gets cancer. But before that, he gets his first child with baby Jack, thanks to Spike getting knocked up and not having an abortion. Basically, he gets sick and Spike kicks him out of the house to not infect the baby. But then he finds out that he has cancer, so he shaves his head in front of the whole school to kind of like, I don't even know why he does it, but we could talk about that. But he shaves his head, then he gets diagnosed. So then he starts going through chemo, but he's still working for a little bit. So he gets kind of depressed and he doesn't really want to do anything because he's sick and he's just annoyed with life. So Spike, like, it's Joey and also Wheels to come and cheer him up. They go bowling, and this is the first time that Snake has really talked to Wheels since the very end of Degrassi High, which is pretty wild. And Wheels kind of has a heart-to-heart with Snake about like wanting to die, since Wheels killed a kid by drunk driving, and then Snake wants to die because he has cancer. So it's a whole thing, but they end up like making up, and they come back and sing their awful Zit Remedy song. Pretty cute. And then like he ends up leaving school at some point, like because chemo was too much for him. And then eventually, like towards the end of the season, Emma finds his will and is super dramatic about it. And that very same day, he goes into remission. Good for him. And that's really it.
Okay. So just kind of, I know we're going to talk about the Wheels thing, but I had like no idea that was Wheels. So I really thought that it was just some random man confessing that he wanted to like die and like killed a child too. I was so confused.
Even if you hadn't seen Degrassi High, that's still weird that like there's this random guy just coming in. And even then, Wheels does look very different.
He looks really different. And I also forgot that he killed a kid. So that was also a whole, I just had a lot of connections I had to make on my own from that scene specifically.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that happens at the very end of that movie. So like, it makes sense.
Okay. Back on track. What do you think? This whole thing, him having cancer.
So this is like a general issue I feel with TV shows doing cancer storylines, because I feel like 99% of the time you know that they're not going to die because they want to do like, they can make it through cancer, yay, hope, good things. So I feel like with cancer storylines, like they're usually like pretty well done with the emotion, but it's very much like, you know how people say, oh, you're pulling the cancer card? Like whenever a TV show does a storyline, it's like, oh, you're pulling the cancer card. you know?
Yeah. It had been a while. This was the first cancer they had in this, like, we're only in season three, but they did have the cancer storyline in, was it junior high?
Yeah.
But they barely, like, touched upon that one. Mm-hmm. It was kind of like one episode, whatever. I honestly thought it was pretty realistic for him to continue working through this, because I know people who have had cancer and just continue teaching, which is unbelievable to me, because like it's already enough work in its own, and he just like wants to pretend like his life is not affected by this, and him going to chemo. Kind of weird that he was so hesitant to go bowling, and how like there's so many germs there, and yet you literally work in a school and it is disgusting all the time. So that was a little off, I felt. But overall, I think he is a good character to pick for it, because they needed to give him something if he's going to hang around.
Well, he hangs around for forever, so.
True, but that's the thing, is like he hasn't really had, I mean, he's had some stuff, like he's obviously the teacher, But they like to give plots to people who are important, and this kind of shows that he's still an important character on the show, and not just Emma's stepdad.
Yeah, that's true. Like, he did, like, have the quick little thing with getting married to Spike in the previous season, but this is, like, his first, like, really big thing in The Next Generation.
Yep. And I didn't really see it coming. I mean, him, like, starting to be sick or whatever, I, like, thought nothing of it until he, like, passed out in front of Craig. We were like, okay, that's awkward.
Yeah, like, I really don't know how cancer works because there's, like, so many different kinds and you don't know, like, how which ones work. But I feel like, even with Claire, like, we were talking about this when, like, she was in season 12, she's like, oh, maybe I do have cancer. It's like, whenever there's, like, some mild health issue, you know, that they're like, ooh, what could it be? I feel like it's always cancer, right?
Usually, except for good old Holly J, who needed a whole new kidney. Which was ridiculous.
Oh my god.
Okay, do you want to talk about him shaving his head?
Yes.
What's your issue with it?
It's not that I have an issue with it. It's like, he's doing it to kind of like get ahead of the cancer, I guess, because he's not officially diagnosed yet at that point, I don't think, but he pretty much thinks that he has it. So he's like, oh, let me shave my head to kind of embrace the cancer? I don't know.
That's what I was thinking. I think it's just him being like, I understand that I have it. I'm not in denial. And if I want to like make it semi-normal, I might as well just shave my head at this event, I guess.
Yeah, well, that actually fits really well because that episode where that happens is the Pride episode, right?
Maybe. Trust you on that.
I'm pretty sure like it's the Marco episode called Pride. Mm-hmm. And then Snake's cancer is the subplot. So I guess that does fit in that like he's kind of not proud of having cancer, but he's like embracing it, you know?
I feel like there's also, it might be more in like the community of people who have had cancer, but I feel like in movies and shows, they have that big scene where they shave their head.
Yeah.
I think this kind of is just like that also.
Yeah. Yeah. They do that with Spinner and Claire too. So it's a very common thing, I feel.
Yeah. So why not just do it in front of the whole school and like not make it weird? Because nobody knew he was sick yet. So it's not like a weird thing for him to do to shave his head.
Yeah, because you could also say that, like, he's doing it to kind of throw off the scent that he has cancer. Because, like, he's already bald, so you won't know that he's going through chemo, you know?
Yeah, and, like, free haircut. That's, like, what St. Baldrick's was kind of for some guys.
True. But, yeah, overall, like, it was well done. Like, the emotions of the storyline were really cool. It doesn't really have much of a long-term effect on Snake, I feel. I was trying to think about his actions in, like, future seasons and, like, how he's kind of changed. The only thing I could really think is that he might have become more of a student advocate. I was thinking in the Breakfast Club episode, he, like, visits and talks to Mr. Radich about, like, the Saturday detention thing, and he's like, they're just kids. Like, calm down. Don't be such a dictator. Like, life is too short. So I kind of felt like, if anything, he just became more of a student advocate.
Yeah, no, I like that. I think that's definitely something maybe that came out of that. And maybe that pushed him to like be a principal eventually. Does he have any interactions with Claire about the cancer?
No, I was thinking about that. Like, he doesn't talk to Claire at all about it.
That would have been nice, because he does talk to Eli about the suicide. So I didn't know if they did that too.
Yeah. But I was thinking about like him being a student advocate, like I like with Sean in this season, where like Sean is failing and he kind of helps him to bump his grade a couple points so that he could pass. Mm-hmm. And then he also helps out Darcy when she gets raped. And I wrote down a couple more. Oh, he takes Manny in when she gets kicked out.
Good guy.
You just said the Eli thing, like he's helping Eli with dealing with Cam. So yeah, like not that he was a bad teacher before this, like he was definitely a good, helpful teacher before the cancer, but if anything, I was thinking that he became like more sympathetic to like students' traumas.
Yeah, I can see that. That definitely makes sense, especially since he also has Emma, who's like living on the side through his thing. And I feel like that kind of brings her own trauma. He doesn't like cause it, but it's just like she's living in a world where he has cancer and he is kind of an asshole for a little bit. And it's fair. It is 100% fair. I love when Spike like calls him out during the scene with the bowling where she's like, you are gonna put this on and you are going out. And I was like, thank God, because somebody needed to tell this guy to like get it together.
Mm-hmm. And what'd you feel about like, I guess, the Wheels reconciliation?
I think that it kind of showed how bad it actually was for Simpson. Because like, even if there's, I think with leukemia, there's like an 80% chance of like living, you know? But it's still scary. And we knew he was like miserable, but I didn't know he was that miserable. And then Wheels showing up kind of showed that he was not in a good place. I think it was nice for them to be able to talk to each other, but I just couldn't really see how it related. Like, it's not on the same playing field. Killing somebody is not the same as having cancer. And it just didn't make sense to me.
Well, I guess for Wheels, it was like the guilt of it all. He was like, why should I deserve to live when I killed somebody?
But then how does that connect to Simpson in any way at all?
Well, I guess just in general, the wanting to die kind of feeling.
I feel like they could have thought of something a little bit better or somebody who related a little bit more, but I just like couldn't think of anything. I guess that they also probably just wanted to bring back a character for fun, because like, who doesn't love a nice feature?
Yeah. I do agree though with what you said, that like it put things in perspective for what Snake was going through, that like he said this when he was first diagnosed to Emma, I think, that like, oh, I need to be strong for you and Spike and Jack. So it makes sense that he wouldn't really open up to them to kind of keep up that like, I'm doing well kind of facade. So it was good to like kind of get him to open up to see how he was actually feeling.
Yeah, definitely. And Joey was a good friend too. He's just trying his best through the whole thing to help Archie out, and it's cute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, overall, like, cancer storylines on TV shows are always just like, okay, this is going to be a thing for a while.
And it was. It was a whole season thing. I don't even, does it go into the next season?
Nah, he's in remission by the end of the season.
Okay, so it was a one season thing. I think it also definitely played into, like, Emma's character in general, which we'll talk about, I'm sure.
Yeah, do you want to go into that? Do you have anything else for Snake?
No, I think that's it.
Okay, so let's go into Emma. So for a summary for Emma, the first thing that she does in the season is that Spike is like about to pop out a child. So Emma gets curious about who her father is, Shane McKay, because she has only met him once when she was 3 or something like that. And her parents are very like, we're not going to talk about Shane. No, don't mention him ever again. So she goes and searches for him, and she ends up finding him at like a home, a nursing home. I don't know exactly if it's a nursing home, but something like that.
I think like an assisted living type of place.
Yeah. So she finds out that Shane is, what's the term? A traumatic brain injury, right?
Yes.
That he can't really, like, he's mentally disabled in some way or another. So she's kind of shocked by that. And then she ends up kind of wanting to have a relationship with him, but Spike says no. And then Shane ends up escaping from this assisted living home and finding Spike's house, like, as she goes into labor. And it's like a very scary scene, kind of, where Shane is kind of having an episode and he breaks a ton of things in the house while Spike is like literally pushing out a baby. So it's kind of a scary scene, but then it all ends up well with Spike giving birth to baby Jack and Emma being like, oh, Shane, I'm glad you're my dad. I'll see you soon, even though I'll never see you again. So then from there, the next thing with Emma is that Sean breaks up with her. Sean has a handful of reasons for why he breaks up with Emma, which we'll talk about later. But for now, Sean dumps Emma and Emma is very sad about it. So then Emma then has a crush on Chris Sharp, who I don't know if he's a new student at Degrassi, but he's new to this season. So Chris invites Emma to a rave that he's going to be DJing at. So she brings Manny and Manny invites Craig, which is a whole thing. But Manny is essentially giving pointers for Emma to like how to snag Chris, which is fine at first until they find out that Chris has a girlfriend. And then Manny is like, oh, they're fighting. It's your time to swoop in, Emma. But Emma, she tries to do it, but it doesn't feel right. So because of this, and also because Manny left Emma at the rave to go make out with Craig in her bed, they have a falling out as friends, Emma and Manny. Emma calls Manny the school slut, and Manny says that Emma's a prude, blah, blah, blah. A classic Emma-Manny fight, of course. They're kind of falling out for a little bit, at least until the abortion episode. So then from there, Emma wants revenge on Sean breaking up with her because she finds out that Sean stole Snake's laptop that Spike bought him to kind of cheer him up with getting cancer. So she kind of goes on her crusade of the season to kind of take Sean down, as well as like his friends, Jay, Alex, etc. So she even lies to Radich about like seeing them steal, I think it was like a VCR tape from the AV office.
DVD and, player, Jasper. DVD player.
So she kind of ropes Chris along in with her to kind of help her take Sean down, which kind of messes with her new relationship with Chris because he has broken up with his girlfriend at this point. So Emma kind of goes a little crazy for a little bit, but then she realizes that she was just bitter about being broken up with. So she starts a relationship with Chris. And then the last thing she does is that she accidentally finds Snake's will on his computer, and she freaks out about it, thinks that he's going to die, that like the chemo didn't work, etc. But anyway, he goes into remission that very same episode. So all this drama for no reason.
Nice.
And that's it for Emma.
Ooh, okay. Where are we starting?
I figured we would start with like the father things.
Yes, okay, because that is insane and I live for it. That whole thing. So first of all, prepping for the baby like that, a little psychotic. But whatever. But I just was so into them bringing Shane back. It made so much sense. And it added to some crazy drama that definitely was a lot. And I was worried about everybody's safety.
Yeah. Like, they definitely had to bring Shane back at some point. Like, I don't know if we talked about this in our, like, Degrassi Junior High mini episode. But like they did Shane so dirty in Degrassi Junior High. Like once he got his brain injury, they basically wrote him off the show. Mm-hmm. So I really didn't like how they did that to him. But they had to bring him back here at some point because how could you not when Emma literally doesn't have her biological father around? So it was cool for them to bring him back. And I also thought it was like a really cool, I guess, writing feature that the episode worked well whether you knew what happened to Shane or not, because it was either like you knew what happened and you're like, ooh, when's the other shoe gonna drop, or you don't know what happened and you're kind of in the dark with Emma. So it's kind of an interesting thing to kind of have both sides of that, whether you're a new viewer or an old viewer, you know.
Well, the first time I watched it, I had no idea. Like, I didn't even know there was a Degrassi Junior High or high or anything. So when they showed Shane, I was like, whoa, I did not see that coming at all. It was such a plot twist, because I feel like they don't have that like representation ever in TV. So it was a very shocking thing. And then when you learn like what happened to him, about how he like jumped off a bridge when he did drugs. And I know they were trying to make it a PSA, but they did not. Like, they just swept him under the rug and just like let it go. It was so interesting. And then plus Emma had no idea, which I kind of wanted to ask you, do you feel like they handled that the right way? Like, should they have just told Emma when she was younger the truth? I feel like they always do this in shows where they push it off and then the kid finds out and then they're mad and then it's like a whole thing. I don't know if it's for drama or not, but I personally think that they should have just like been honest about it.
Yeah, like I don't know why, but Spike like hates Shane. Like, even in junior high, she like avoided him. Like, pretty much after she got pregnant, she like avoided him as well as she could. So like, Spike hates Shane, so it makes sense that she wouldn't tell him. But yeah, she definitely should have told him what happened. Told Emma, I mean.
I understand what you're saying. I think that she definitely should have told Emma, especially when Emma started asking, because I mean, honestly, I wouldn't have thought Emma would have put that much work into finding her dad anyway, but she did. I thought Craig was the absolute right choice for her to bring with her. But I just like can't imagine being in her position and like not knowing who your dad is. And then you think that your dad is a doctor and then you walk in and you're like, oh my goodness, how am I going to bring this one up at home?
I was thinking about how this whole situation is kind of the beginning of Emma kind of disconnecting with Spike and Snake as her parents. Because, like, she literally goes on a train. It, like, they kind of say that it's hours away, so I'm just going to assume that it's, like, a couple-hour drive, which is, like, a really long way to, like, kind of just travel by yourself. Especially Emma is in ninth grade at this point.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. So this is kind of the start of, like, Emma kind of becoming more rebellious, I feel. Like, I was thinking about how she sneaks out to go to the rave later on in the season. She's like, oh, I don't want to show my parents this bootylicious makeover or something. And then even in next season, I was thinking about her social disease episode and how she kind of not manipulates her parents, but she is like very sneaky around them with the fact that she's giving away blowjobs in vans.
This is like kind of now off topic, but I want to talk about just Emma in general this season, because I don't think she was consistent. I feel like with the parents thing, fine. Yeah, she was rebelling like a little bit. She didn't really want to be like, she's like, you're not my dad. So angsty. But then she treats Manny like absolute garbage and is like, you're not following the rules. And then to Sean, she's like, you're not following the rules either. And then it's like, I'm confused. What rules are you following? And is it only okay when you break them? That's what I'm not a big fan of in this season, is that she's very like, I do what I want and it's fine. But when somebody else does something wrong, that's when I'm going to call them out.
Yeah, Emma is a bit of a hypocrite in that way, for sure. Like, she definitely is very judgmental and she is also very impulsive.
Yeah, and I even wrote down, because when Manny calls her a prude, like, I don't think Emma's a prude. Emma's 14. I think Emma's just judgmental, and that's really what it comes down to for me, because Emma still wears, like, crop tops and stuff. She's just not, like, wearing a thong, and she's like, these shouldn't even be sold at the mall. Where else would they be sold, Emma? Come on. Like, I don't know.
I do have some thoughts about that in general, but let's just wrap up this whole Shane thing first.
Okay, sorry.
What did you think about how they dealt with Shane in the first place? Like, how it kind of became violent and all that stuff?
I literally wrote that down. I said, what do you think about how they handled Shane at the end? So, I honestly feel like it was really bad. Like, I just feel like that whole scenario was not okay. Like, everybody could have gotten really hurt. But I also don't think that they represented the disability in the right way. There was just, like, a lot that kind of went wrong, and then they ignored it because they were like, he has a traumatic brain injury, and this is why he acted. It's like, he was very violent. And it was kind of like scary to watch because you really don't know how somebody's going to react, even if they don't have a disability. So I wasn't like a huge fan. I feel like they kind of just left him off with like acting like that, and then we never see him again.
I agree. I feel like they fed into stereotypes of disabled people.
Yes, definitely.
I don't know too much about traumatic brain injuries, but I know they also did them on, what show was that? The Fosters.
Okay.
And they also kind of had a character, like, I think he did the same thing with like wiping picture frames off the table, you know, like, so I'm sure that like violent episodes are something that happens, but I just felt it was not great to kind of villainize him, you know?
Yeah, I think at the end, it's almost like they were trying to say, hey, Emma, maybe it wasn't great that you reached out and found your dad.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that they could have went another way with it. I think he could have shown up and like just have been like a person and not, I don't know, they could have like humanized him more. I feel like they just took that away and made him, you're right, like a villain in that scenario.
Yeah, because even like, how did he get out of the living facility and found his way to Spike's house?
No idea.
It was kind of a contrived plot thing that happened to get him there so that he could be so violent to Spike while she's going through labor.
Did Emma leave her address or anything for him, like in a note? Or because that's the only thing I can think of is if Emma told him where they lived, because how else, especially if they don't communicate with him?
Yeah, I was thinking it might have been the same house that Spike grew up in Degrassi Junior High, but I don't know if that's true.
And even if, yeah, I guess, well, that's the thing too, is that if he, okay, let's say he was able to get there because his injury like isn't that bad. Why did they do that to him then at the end? Like, it's like, you got to pick, is he capable of like living on his own and transportation and everything, or is he not? And I feel like they went both ways and it wasn't great.
Yeah. And it wasn't like, again, it wasn't good representation of like mental disabilities and such.
No. And that's why even when we first started talking about it, I was like, this is exciting that they have representation. But then at the end, it wasn't great. So it's kind of like they should have just left it as its own and not had this whole horrible, because it was really scary to watch.
Yeah, it really was.
We did not know where that was going. And poor Emma.
Yeah, how do you feel that like this whole situation affected Emma? Like, I already talked about how she kind of got disconnected from Spike and Snake a little bit. But like, this is kind of a one-off thing, right? So how do you feel it kind of affected her going forward?
I don't even know if it did, honestly. It never comes up again. Okay, maybe she appreciates Snake a little bit more after this, even though it kind of like she does and then she doesn't anymore. I feel like you can kind of see her like caring more when he gets sick, because it goes from like, you're not my dad, I hate you, to her actually like caring about him when he's sick. So I don't know if maybe that was it.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking, essentially. In the episode where Snake gets diagnosed, she is like crying the whole time, which that's a fine response, but also she's only really had Snake in her life as a father figure for like not even a year at this point.
Oh, good point.
So I feel like her being like, oh, my dad's going to die type of response was only because she just had this like whole father situation, and now like Snake is like her official father because Shane is out of the picture.
Yeah, that's definitely it. Look at us, so good.
Yeah, so with that in mind, let's kind of go into what you were talking about with like Emma overall, with like kind of being a hypocrite. Because I was thinking that like her whole thing this season, and I was also kind of thinking in future seasons, just vaguely knowing what happens, is that this is really the first season where Emma is not really in control of like her life or like the things around her, right? Like in season one, she is kind of the one leading her relationship with Sean. Manny is her sidekick, basically. So she is kind of telling Manny what to do, not in like a mean way, but in like, yeah, I'm the alpha friend kind of way. And then in season two, kind of the same thing. Like she is trying to control Spike with the abortion. I mean, not that Emma really influenced Spike's decision, but I'm sure that's what Emma felt like as a 13-year-old. But this is like the first time where she doesn't really have control, right? Like Snake getting cancer is completely out of her control. This whole Shane situation, Sean breaking up with her, she didn't anticipate. And then this is also the season where Manny starts branching out and starts not being Emma's sidekick anymore. So Emma really isn't in control of like everything in her life anymore. So I feel that's kind of where her hypocrisy comes in, because she's like, I'm trying to grasp control of anything that I can, which is why she's an asshole to Manny. And she's trying to take down Sean because she's like trying to control all these situations that she isn't in control of.
That was some really good character analysis. I totally agree. And it really does start, I feel like, with Manny, in my opinion. I don't know. I understand that like the Shane thing like comes and goes, but I think the second Manny starts to like step out of what Emma thinks is like the norm and get starting to get more attention, that's when Emma starts to feel like threatened. And it does all kind of crumble around the same time. Like Sean and Manny, like her and Manny aren't even friends really. And then Sean and her break up. And then now there's a new baby at home. And yeah, all that stuff is just kind of falling apart around her. But also some of it is her fault. So that's what's annoying, is that she thinks she's the victim, but she is not the victim in this.
I was rewatching the episodes yesterday and I found it like a good scene that kind of encapsulates this whole like Emma feeling that she needs control. And it's a scene in the episode where she finds Snake's will. And this is like the first scene where she confronts him about it, essentially.
Where's a good T-bone steak when you need one, huh?
I thought we were done with secrets, Dad. I found your will. When were you gonna tell me the chemo failed?
No. Emma, you got it all wrong. The doctor just told me to be prepared.
Prepared for what? What is going on?
This afternoon, I get the results for my last round of chemo. Your mom and I just wanted to protect you.
We'll stop, okay?
Okay, but this is big, Em. It's life or death big. Because if the chemo didn't work.
But I want to know what's going on. I need to know.
Okay. So come with us today to the doctor's. There's no more secrets.
Yeah, so I felt like when she's like, I need to know, stop keeping secrets from me and stuff, I thought that really encapsulated like her whole thing with like wanting to be in control of all the situations that are around her. Because she's even trying to control Snake's cancer here, which like obviously she can't do, but she's trying.
I was kind of confused because I didn't really think the will was that big of a deal, because I feel like everybody has wills. And I honestly wouldn't have made the connection that he's writing a will because something bad's gonna happen, which I don't know. Is that just like, did you make that connection?
I mean, I don't know when people usually make their wills. Like, is that like
right?
30s, 40s? But
I don't know either. I feel like it was kind of a weird thing. I get it. I get why Emma was upset. I feel like her jump to like him dying immediately is pretty rough.
Mm-hmm.
But I could also see why she was so upset, because of It could be the control thing, but it also could be because she just had this like experience with Shane where like he is obviously not going to be there for her and not going to be a dad. And then she finally has a dad and now he's dying. So it's really not great timing, but I don't know.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, I thought that was like a good like example of like how Emma generally is in the season, that she's trying to like control everything around her, essentially.
Yeah, definitely.
So do you want to go more into Emma and Manny?
Yes. Oh my goodness, do I want to talk about them. First of all, okay, I have a question for you. Why is Emma pushing JT so much? Did I miss something? What is the big deal about Manny not liking JT and Emma taking it so personally?
I think it was not so much that Manny didn't like JT. It's that she, like, I wouldn't say she brutally rejected him, but she was kind of like with a tone of, this is never going to happen, JT. So it was more of like her attitude, I feel, that Emma was upset about, that she felt she was above JT.
I guess. I don't know. I feel like as a friend to somebody, even if like you're all in the same friend group, like you don't owe anyone anything. And I feel like JT trying to take the step of being more than just friends anyway, out of nowhere, literally only when Manny got hot. Like, it's kind of in Manny's right to be like, hey, I'm not interested because first of all, you didn't like me before this. And second of all, like, we're friends, so chill. I don't know. I think Emma took it like really personally the whole time with Manny and JT. Like, she would constantly be like, JT likes you. Why aren't you liking him back or like being nice? And Manny's like, because I don't like him. Like, what do you want? Go pay attention to Sean, who you haven't seen all season.
Yeah, Emma, like, she was definitely pushing JT a bit too far, but I was actually thinking about how Emma was genuinely supportive of Manny's new look at first. Like, she was a little questionable about the thong.
Wait, when was she supportive? When did you see this? Because I did not see any support the whole time.
No, she was like, she was happy that Manny was like expressing herself at first. I'm pretty sure.
Pretty early on, she was like, Manny, why are you doing this? And then she was like, Radich said, and then Manny's like, well, I'm not wearing underwear, so leave me alone. So I feel like that, I don't know at any point, like, I think Emma might have been like, yeah, I'm supportive of you getting like a new haircut, but then didn't realize like what this was. So is that maybe what you mean? I just like didn't think that she ever supported Manny at all.
No, I definitely think that there was like the first half of that one episode, Emma was like, go Manny, express yourself.
But not before the thong, right? Or before the thong, and then the thong happened, and then after that, it just, like, fell apart.
Yes, I think that was it.
That's, like, Emma was supportive up until Manny, like, actually told her what she wanted to do.
Yes, but I'm kind of conflicted, because Manny should have every right to, like, dress and express herself however she wants, but we know that Manny wasn't changing her look for the right reasons, you know?
Yeah. No, and that's fine. I think their moral code like didn't line up anymore, and that's usually, that like happens with friends. I feel like there's usually a split. Like, if your friend is drinking and you don't drink, like eventually you're going to split because they're doing something that you don't want to do, and it's a pretty common thing, and I don't know.
But I guess what I'm trying to say is that Emma was seeing how Manny was doing this new look for the wrong reasons, and she was trying to be like a good friend and be like, what are you doing? Like, this isn't you, you know?
Yeah, I guess it's just hard because I want to like support anybody doing whatever, you know, they want. And like, yeah, Manny's going through a phase, but that doesn't mean like completely ditch her as a friend just because she's dressing differently and like wants boys' attention. And plus, Emma already has a boyfriend, so it's like, I don't know. I think we have different opinions on this, because I don't think Emma is a good friend at all to Manny this entire time.
I'm cutting Emma some slack just because I'm thinking about how I would react, I feel, and it would be like similar to Emma, where I would be like, you're not doing this for the right reasons. So as your friend, I'm going to tell you that, like, not that you need to stop necessarily, but like you should think more about what you're doing, you know? Then Manny took that very personally, and that's when she got pissed at Emma.
Yeah, I will say Manny was very rude. I did not like how she called the environmental club stupid. I feel like that was kind of like a hit at Emma that Emma brought up like continuously throughout the episode. She's like, my stupid environmental, like not even with just Manny, like with pretty much like Sean a lot and like other people, which was interesting because then you could see how like Manny's words really stuck with her. But I feel like there were different, I don't know, there's like different ways that Emma could have went about this. And I feel like Emma was very not, I don't know how to describe it. So like one example is when Manny comes up after Emma was complaining about how Sean didn't show up to the environmental thing because he was working in the shop, and she was like, you're the only guy that wasn't there. And he was like, what do you mean? And then like Manny showed up and she gives Sean a look. And I'm like, this is supposed to be your friend. And like, I get talking shit is like part of high school, but you should also be a little more chill about it with Manny. I feel like she just immediately was like, I don't want to be friends with somebody who does this. So I'm going to make our friendship as awful as possible until Manny leaves.
Well, Manny was the one who cut off the friendship.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like Manny had to choose to leave because Emma was just like, I don't know what Emma wanted. Emma wanted the old quote unquote Manny back, but Manny was just her sidekick anyway.
Yeah, so that's why I'm conflicted. Like, I genuinely believe Emma was coming from a good place, but at the same time, with this whole control thing, like, she also didn't want to lose Manny as kind of like her lackey. So, like, it's very nuanced because I do see Emma's perspective with wanting to be a good friend, because that's what I would do in her situation. But also, like we were talking about, Emma's very hypocritical, and she, when she does the same stuff as Manny's doing next season, she's being like, oh, I could do it now because I'm Emma and you're Manny.
Exactly. That's why I just don't. I think it really comes down to the control thing. I think that she's just, honestly, I think she's just jealous. I'll say it. And I know Manny said it. And I 100% believe that Emma was like a little jealous and she was worried about losing Manny as a friend. But she also didn't do a great job as keeping her as a friend. Because there is a limit where it's like, hey, what you're doing isn't cool. Like, is everything okay? And then Manny's like, I'm choosing to do this because I want to. That's where you need to decide. Are you going to support it or are you just going to keep shitting on her? Because obviously Manny just needs to go through this and get over it. And Emma just kept shitting on her until Manny was like, why am I staying?
Yeah, that makes sense. I will say, though, that Emma was absolutely not in the wrong in the rave episode.
Oh, I 100% agree with that. It's funny because I was like, I'm on Manny's side, and you're like, you're on Emma's side. But now we're both like, Manny sucks in this episode so much.
Yeah, like literally one, ditching your friend at a rave is awful enough, but then bringing a boy to your friend's bedroom to make out with him, like that's just too much. On top of encouraging Emma to get Chris to cheat.
Yes. I think that Emma in that moment was trying to like understand Manny's point of views and like dressing up and like doing something fun. And like, that's fine. But then Manny really did just take the whole moral. Like the fact that Emma wasn't super okay with this stuff to begin with. And then Manny just takes it to a whole new level, ditches her, brings a guy home into her bed with her parents home and a baby, like too much. Go to Craig's shed. What are you doing?
Yeah, I will say, like, there's like the rave scene where Manny is dancing with Craig and Emma is talking to Chris. And there's like, it kind of bounces back and forth between the two couples. And there's a really cool juxtaposition where Manny and Craig end up making out on the dance floor. And then Emma kisses Chris and then is like, oh, this isn't right. So I thought that was like a really cool juxtaposition between where Manny's at and where Emma's at.
Yes, that's very true. They did a good job with that whole thing because it really does show where they are morally and how far Emma's trying to go to like be friends with Manny.
Mm-hmm.
And she draws the line at her friend bringing a guy home and making out in her bed, which is fair. I would also do that.
But then they do make up for a little bit when Manny gets pregnant. When Ashley tells the whole school that Manny's pregnant, Emma goes right to the bathroom to comfort Manny. And then she's like, oh, babysit Jack with Craig and see how it goes. So she is supportive at first, of course, until Manny says she's going to have an abortion.
I think that was the right thing to do for Emma, because they're really, you know, you have fights in high school, and I would be pissed at Manny for the bed thing too, but I would 100% always be there if something that big is happening, because that's a really big thing to be happening. So I think that that was awesome for Emma to like step up until the end of the, until the abortion thing, which actually I have a question for you about the abortion thing. Do you think it makes sense that Emma is not pro-choice? Because I feel like Emma is very liberal with the environment and like other things, but then the fact that she's like, abortions are wrong. I feel like if Emma wasn't born as like a teen baby or whatever, I don't know if there's a term for this, she would have probably been like all for abortions, but like she's not. Does that make sense? It's weird, I feel like.
Yeah, it's like, not that Emma is super great with like her causes to begin with being like doing things the correct way, but definitely abortions are her blind spot for sure, because she knows that she could have been an abortion.
Yeah, it's very interesting, because I think in any other scenario, she would have been all about supporting women choosing. Mm-hmm. But this was not.
Because she even says in that one scene that if Manny was anybody else, I would be furious with her. But because she's my friend, I need to support her choice, even if I disagree with it. Which is what, like, of course, the new look is kind of minuscule in comparison to having an abortion, but like that's kind of the correct response that she should have had, now that I'm thinking about it, to Manny's new look. Like, I don't support your new look, but I support you.
That's what I was saying earlier. Yeah, because it's like you could have the conversation like, is everything okay, is this really what you want, and then like afterwards you just like, you have to live with it, or you could be like Emma and just keep pushing that it's not okay, and then it blows up in your face. Mm-hmm. So growth, I guess, kind of.
Yeah. So I don't think Emma was like the worst friend on the planet this season. Like Manny was also not that great of a friend back, like we just said. So it's definitely a toxic friendship this whole season. But yeah, like I do give Emma the benefit of the doubt for some of this.
You're nice. I don't. I don't know. I'm like so all in on Manny's side for this one. So maybe we'll put a poll up or something.
No, I feel like most people hate Emma, so Manny would absolutely win.
Oh, nice. You're just a good, you're trying to play devil's advocate, kind of.
I'm just thinking about what I would do.
That's fair. That's fair. You're just more of an Emma.
Is that a good or bad thing?
I don't know. I'm 70% Manny, according to that BuzzFeed article. Did you take that?
Oh, yeah. I think I was 30%.
Yep. There it is. Oh, my God, Jasper, you're the Emma to my Manny. Except we'll be friends and I won't change, so no worries.
God bless.
Could you imagine if I'm 25 wearing a thong like that? That would I think I could arrest it. I don't know.
That would be iconic.
A good friend.
Okay, let's go on to the whole Sean situation now.
Yes, all about it.
Okay, so I think we're going to go into, like, again, why Sean broke up with her, with Sean. But Emma's response to Sean breaking up with her is just awful.
This whole thing, I feel bad saying it, but it's all Emma's fault. But it's not in like a bad way Emma's fault. It's just Emma had a lot on her plate with what was going on at home, and she obviously did not have time or was in a place for a relationship. She never admitted this to herself because she like still liked Sean, but she put him on the back burner so much that I wrote down, He hadn't hung out with Emma in a month. You go to school every day together and you still like don't hang out after school. She makes it a huge deal when she's like, we just spent all of lunch together, all 40 minutes together. Like, it's not, and I understand high school relationships are different, but I could honestly see Emma was not giving Sean what he needed. And it made sense for them to eventually break up because of it.
Yeah, for sure. But also, like, Sean could have been a bit more sympathetic. Like, of course, we know Sean has a lot on his plate too. But yeah. Yeah, they were both kind of in the wrong, I feel. Maybe a bit more Emma, like you said. But yeah, they definitely broke up for a reason.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I think Sean tries. Like, they had that really cute scene when they were in the computer class and he was like, what if we just like hung out and got a pizza and watched TV and like I'll be there? And it was just like he was really trying to save what was left of their, you know, relationship. And I thought that was cute because Emma was making no attempts to really like have a relationship. And I, again, it's totally what was going on at home, and that's fine. But like you said, Sean has a lot going on at home too, but he's making an effort.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'm on Sean's side for ending that relationship. I just don't see how that could have like continued in any way that benefited either of them.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Sean was a bit of a dick about it, but
Oh no. He was totally awful and should not have acted that way. And I know that it was because he started hanging out with Jay. I wish he could have been kinder at the end.
But Emma's response to the breakup was just awful. Like, she was just so bitter.
She was so bitter and like refused to take any responsibility for it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little weird. Her practically stalking Sean about the computer thing, which was fair because it was true, and he was gaslighting the fuck out of her, but but she took down Chris with her, which was kind of sad.
Which this whole situation, again, is, I feel, the whole control thing with Emma, because I was thinking about the Sean episode in season 2 where like Sean storms out on family dinner and gets drunk, and then Emma saves the day by like calling Spike to pick them up. So like, I thought that was like a cool, like, this is Emma being in control, whereas now she's out of control and she's like going crazy trying to take down Sean.
Yep. Do you think she didn't like him anymore at the end of like when he broke up with her? Obviously she was super bitter, but do you think she even had feelings for him if she didn't want to hang out with him at all ever?
I think she still loves him. Even when she's with Chris.
Well, yeah, definitely. Okay, that's fair. I also wanted to mention Emma not even flinching when Sean slams that locker is one of the most iconic things I've ever seen in my life. It is unreal. Like, her face is just stone.
I would have like fallen on the ground.
I know, I would have literally screamed if someone slammed a locker like that. She just didn't even flinch. It was crazy.
But yeah, this was Emma's like social justice cause of the season, to like take down Sean and Jay with stealing things. And like, I get it, because it is personal that Sean stole Snake's laptop. And also she's just mad about the whole situation. But she even realizes this by the end of the episode, that she let her feelings get in the way.
Yeah, because she honestly believed, like when she was talking to JT about it, JT was so cute and he was like, we hate Sean. But she was saying how she didn't think Sean would steal the laptop, like that's too far. And that, I think, was her little last bit of hope that he wasn't a complete dick, but he did steal the laptop, which is so awful. And Sean is just a garbage human after they break up. Just the whole rest of the season, he's just garbage until he meets Ellie.
I wouldn't say that. We'll get into that.
Okay.
But yeah, like, I'd say this is Emma when she's at her worst. Like, she's jealous that Sean is moving on, because I think this is also the episode where Sean is making out with I think her name is Amy in the back.
Yep, I wrote that. I said Sean being nasty in class is unreal.
Yeah. And then she's like manipulating Chris to kind of get what she wants. And then like she's going on a crusade for something that doesn't involve her. Like, again, similar to season 2 where she walks over to Joey's house to tell Snake that Spike is pregnant. She needs to just stay in her lane. Like, yes, Sean should not be stealing things, but you need to just mind your business.
Yeah, her calling Jay out at the shop about stealing shit, I was like, holy crap, you're gonna get your ass kicked. And like, honestly, I don't know what I would have done. I definitely wouldn't have told, actually. I know exactly what I would have done. I would have ignored it. Like, and then also getting Chris involved in all this for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why? Because Manny doesn't want to be your friend and Sean dumped you. You have nobody else, which is unfortunate, but leave this poor kid out of this.
What do you feel about her Chris relationship?
I was back and forth. Well, first of all, I didn't love that he had a girlfriend and that whole scenario. So I thought it was going to actually end after that. I didn't expect them to continue it and have him break up with his girlfriend and like Emma. And I think that she did have some genuine interest while he had a girlfriend. Like, I think that she, even though it was a little bit of a rebound, she seemed like kind of into him. Mm-hmm. But then after he dumped his girlfriend, I feel like it just completely turned into her trying to get back at Sean.
Yeah. Like, I was thinking about this, how the two episodes about Emma's relationship with Chris are really about other people. So the rave episode is really about her friendship with Manny. And then this episode is about Sean.
Yeah, pretty much.
So there's not much substance to their relationship other than, like, they're both attracted to each other, I guess. Like, what do they have in common?
I mean, yeah, they don't really have much in common. Well, she thinks he's smart, which is, like, nice because he does read Shakespeare and calls... I love that everybody calls Sean Eminem. Like, it's just, like, a casual reference. Like, Slim Shady, like, what? But there must have been more behind the scenes if Emma's mom knew about Chris. Because she brings him up and she's like, do you want to invite him to come to Snake's birthday party? So there must have been something, like she must have mentioned him. But no, we don't know anything about Chris like at all, besides the fact that he likes Emma and is trying to make this sad relationship work.
And he likes beatboxing.
That's it. We don't know anything.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure they just say in the beginning of season 4 that they broke up. So like, it's not even like an actual relationship that we see.
No, I don't even see how they could, like, okay, he did forgive her or whatever when she found him at the mall, but I don't know. I wouldn't have, honestly. I think I would have been like, I don't want to get involved in this. Especially since Sean could, like, kill me.
Yeah. Yeah, any other thoughts on Emma?
Oh, yeah, sorry, I have one question left. Why didn't Emma tell Simpson about the laptop?
Yeah, I was thinking about that too.
She says in the next, like, scene, like, there's not enough proof. Like, what am I supposed to say? Jay, like, implied it? Yes. Yes, that's exactly what you're supposed... Like, Jay flat out was like, yeah, I stole a laptop, pretty much. And she easily could have told Simpson. She needed to tell the principal, like, fine, whatever. But if she told Simpson, like, he's a teacher, he could have done something about this.
Yeah, or even just... Because Snake was thinking he was crazy that he lost it.
Yeah, I felt so bad.
Yeah, the only thing I can think of is that they wanted Sean to come clean at the end of the season.
Okay. And she probably, I was also thinking maybe she didn't want to throw him under the bus in case they ever wanted to get back together. Like, how do you come back from that?
Oh, true. Like, she wanted to, like, keep a olive branch out just in case.
It could be it. That would be something that I would have done in high school. If I wanted to date a guy, I needed a bad thing. I would be like, I'm not telling. Keep that on the down low.
That's funny.
That's all I got, though, other than that.
Okay. So we're going to do a quick detour to Ellie because she fits into Sean pretty well. And then we're going to end with Sean. So trigger warning that we're going to be discussing Ellie's self-harm and cutting. So for Ellie, the first thing she does is break up with Marco, which we're going to talk about in our next episode. But for Ellie herself, the first thing that she really does is that her dad is in the military and he gets deployed. And that kind of starts her mom to become an alcoholic. I mean, she already was an alcoholic. It's kind of implied that this happens every time Ellie's dad goes away. So Ellie's kind of having a shitty home life right now because her dad's gone and her mom isn't taking care of her. And then at the same time, she is trying to get an internship at Caitlin's like TV show thing. And she is up against Paige for the position. And Paige kind of screws her over by like spilling juice onto her interview shirt and such. So Ellie gets even more stressed out. She thinks the interview went very badly. So she starts to harm herself with a compass. So this goes on for like a couple of weeks. They kind of imply that like a good amount of time goes by that she's doing this. And then eventually she gets to school late one day and the secretary is a bitch about it. So she is super stressed and she hurts herself in the bathroom and Paige sees. So Paige kind of confronts her about it and is like, why are you doing this? You shouldn't be doing this. And then eventually Paige tells Miss Sauvé and Ellie starts to see Miss Sauvé and get some help for hurting herself. So then from there, it's the Breakfast Club episode and Ellie kind of goes to Saturday detention to go undercover to kind of get proof that there is stealing happening at Degrassi. And then all the shenanigans in that episode happen. She opens up to Sean about her self-harm and Sean tells her that he's been stealing. So they kind of connect and then they hold hands at one point. But then the whole group finds out that Ellie has been recording them to get proof. So everyone's pissed at her. But then she apologizes. I guess Sean breaks the recording, but she lets him do it, I guess. And Sean and Ellie get together. And then the next thing and the last thing is that they're not like official boyfriend girlfriend yet, but they have been seeing each other. And Ellie is kind of not really nervous, but she kind of uses Marco as her friend in this situation to bring him on dates with Sean, which is super uncomfortable. So Sean is kind of a dick about it too, but Ellie apologizes that like she was using Marco to kind of, I don't even know why she does it, but we could talk about it. But they make up and officially get together. And that's how the season ends for Ellie.
Nice. First, I just want to say, Ellie at the beach was totally a mood. I loved it. It was so good.
Yes, Ellie is so cute. I love her.
She's not my favorite for the season, but she definitely grows on me later because right now Manny is my favorite. But I really like Ellie a lot. Mm-hmm. She goes through some shit.
Yeah. Like the whole self-harm episode is so good. Like it's very important to show and it's just a very well done episode overall because like it just kind of shows how you could have stress coming from so many different places. Like she has her dad, the internship, Paige being an asshole.
Too much, honestly.
Just too much to handle. I don't really know. Like I'm not super well versed on like why people self-harm. But like I guess the way Ellie described it was that it was the only pain that she could control, kind of back to we were thinking about Emma. Mm-hmm. That like Emma just like went crazy trying to control things, but Ellie had her outlet to hurt herself to kind of get the pain to go away. Or I guess I've seen people talk about it in the past that it's like it's the only pain that they could control.
Yeah.
So sorry if like we're saying things the wrong way.
I think this, honestly, Ellie, like rewatching this or watching it for the first time, Ellie self-harming was my first real exposure to anybody doing that. Like, I honestly didn't really even know, like, in high school that people did that, or I guess middle school, because I watched it in middle school. But so this was kind of like an interesting take because other characters had shitty home lives, but she's the one that was self-harming. Mm-hmm. So everybody like handles things differently, and she was handling it this way. And Paige, of course, comes in because Paige went through a shitty thing, and we love bringing in characters who go through shitty things and then putting them together. So I want to talk about Paige and Ellie.
Yeah, I thought Paige was the perfect person to help Ellie because, for one thing, they were like enemies at this point. Like, Paige was trying to get Ellie's internship job, and Paige was just like spilling things on her accidentally on purpose.
Yeah, okay. I wanted to say, because at first I was like, it was definitely on purpose. Rewatching it today, I decided that she definitely did it on accident, but wasn't sad about it.
Yeah.
That's really what it comes down to. Because she, like, watching it again, like, she obviously did not mean for it to happen. Because she was like, oh shit, at first. But then afterwards, when Ashley was like, what the hell? She was like, well, it happened. So that's that.
Yeah. But Paige, like, the fact that they were enemies and the fact that Paige has been raped and she got help for it, like, it was just the perfect person to help Ellie out. And I wanted to show that scene where, like, Paige confronts Ellie. So let me just bring that up real quick.
Hey, Paige, give me a minute and we'll talk about your friend, okay?
About who? Me? Look, I don't care if you get mad. What you're doing is dangerous, okay? It's scary. You can't handle it. You have to take away the one thing that matters.
What are you talking about?
You want my co-op job.
I don't care about the stupid job. You're hurting yourself. This is beyond me. I don't know how to help you, but Sove will.
I don't need help.
Then show me your arm.
There's nothing wrong with me.
Then show me your arm. Ellie. Ellie, please show me your arm.
Literally make me cry.
It's such a rough scene.
It's so hard, but it is like exactly how it should be handled. I feel like Paige going to an adult, thank the Lord. I don't know. It was good.
Yeah, I just thought it was great how it kind of showed how like survivors of trauma could like just help each other through things, even if like they don't mesh well as friends. Like, it's still important to just support each other through rough things.
Yeah, and it's funny. Funny is not the right word, but it's like, Ellie is friends with Ashley. Like, what is Ashley not noticing? Or is she just choosing not to? They don't involve Ashley in this at all, which is kind of weird because they're supposed to be, like, best friends. Mm-hmm. But I guess maybe it's easier for Paige to be the one to do something about it because she's not friends with Ellie. I don't know.
Yeah.
Or Ashley, like, hasn't really gone through real trauma. Like,
yeah, I mean, I don't know if Ashley would understand. It's not like Ellie is, like, telling people that she's hurting herself anyway.
Yeah, that's very true. Paige just happened to, like, catch her in the act.
Yeah. Like, if Ashley caught her, I don't know what she would do. Like, I don't think she would tell a teacher.
She would have wrote a song about it. Like, no.
Oh my God.
Sorry. No, I think Paige is way better. I don't think that Ashley would have been a good person. So I'm glad that they didn't leave that with Ashley.
Yeah. So even though this self-harm plotline is so good and so important, I do kind of wish that it lasted for longer than an episode, because it is good that they show this episode takes place over like a couple weeks to kind of show how it's like a continuous thing. But once Ellie gets help, we don't really see her like relapse or anything. Like she does say, I forget at what point, but she tells somebody that like, even if I don't do it ever again, I'm still always going to be a cutter. She does.
She tells Craig about it.
Yeah.
They do bring it back kind of though, because they have her going through like therapy.
Yeah, for sure.
Does she not relapse like later on? Like, or she was about to, and then like Marco stops. What am I thinking? Maybe I'm thinking the drinking.
Yeah, she definitely like develops a drinking problem. And then in Degrassi Goes Hollywood, she kind of has a suicide attempt.
Yeah, so her issues like don't go away. Yeah. It's just like the form of cutting is no longer her go-to.
Yeah. So like Ellie's character arc with this is so great. Like I love how it doesn't go away, but like in terms of like just knowing that it's more than just a couple week thing that people deal with is I guess what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I can see why they put it in one episode. I'm wondering if there was maybe some issue with like airing it or something, because like you don't really need to see that episode to know that she like has issues like later on.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, like obviously it would be important because she brings it up with like Sean with the rubber band thing, but I think you could have skipped this episode, or they could have pulled it and it wouldn't be kind of like the abortion thing. I personally don't think I could have done another episode of the cutting. It was like very sad and very just like it was a lot.
Yeah, for sure. I love this episode so much, but yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'm just bitter about the fact that Ellie becomes like just a Craig fangirl later on.
That's fair. I'm also not happy about that.
So yeah, maybe it's just that. And I just wanted her to have more like, even if she doesn't harm herself again, that she like is still dealing with these similar types of issues rather than Craig.
I think she deserves more character development than just the girl who harms herself / the girl who's in love with Craig.
Yeah, for sure. Ellie's so good. I love her so much.
She's a very important character. Okay. What else about Ellie?
I guess Sean and Ellie, and I guess the Breakfast Club episode in general.
Yeah, I rewatched it today. I love how Toby's such a dork the whole time. Like yeah. Him getting the hockey things thrown at him or whatever. I don't know. It was cute.
Yeah. But Ellie in that episode is also so good. Like, her being a mole was a little weird to, like, get the scoop on Sean. That was a little of a weird detail. Because if she was a mole, I thought it was weird that she was being so open with Sean about, like, her self-harm. And she was recording herself being open about it, you know?
That's very true. I don't know. I, like, think they just wanted to add a little more drama into it, that she's a mole.
Yeah. But, like, Sean and Ellie, I feel like you would never think to put them together. But they like work so well together and it's weird.
Yes, I agree. I also was thinking about how Sean and Ashley were like a thing. Like Ellie's really good friends with Ashley. Not that that really matters. I just like thought about that when they were starting to like kind of get together. But it makes sense because they're kind of in the scenario where both of them have no control over their lives. Like Sean's in a shitty place. Ellie's in a shitty place. I think it makes sense now that they're together. And this is why I love Degrassi, like back in the younger era, because they just combine friend groups or combine people who you wouldn't think would cross over and it just works out.
Mm-hmm. I thought like just the whole scene with Sean and Ellie on the roof where Ellie opens up about how she hurts herself and how like they both kind of say like, you don't think I'm crazy or you don't think I'm scary.
Yes, like, I love it.
Because like for Sean at least, like he's kind of developed this persona that he's a bad boy and that he steals things and that people are intimidated by him. So for Ellie to kind of not feel that way is like kind of the first time that someone has kind of viewed him as a human in a while. And then for Ellie, like, not that Ellie has opened up to too many people about her self-harm, but Sean is like not judging her for it. I think she says the control thing and Sean says that makes sense.
Yes.
So like Sean is kind of understanding that her issues are kind of compounding and like that's kind of why they connect so well.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with that. I loved when he was like, that makes sense. And she's like, no one's ever said that to me before. I'm like, oh, so cute. I love it. But then the relationship is weird because Ellie can't get it together.
Yeah. Like the Marco, Sean, Ellie plot is pretty cute because honestly, it is weird, but it makes sense because Ellie has never dated somebody actually before. So she doesn't know how things work.
I thought it was interesting because they brought up the issue. Ashley always does this crap. Ashley like came in and she was like, your life is completely different now that you have a boyfriend. You can't do the same things. And then Ellie's like, I'm literally just hanging out with Marco. Like, calm down. But that set the tone for Ellie doesn't know how to balance friends and boyfriend. And like, it's fair. Yeah, it's a hard thing to do, especially when it's like your first relationship. Mm-hmm. And he's not friends with any of your friends.
Yeah, for sure.
So that makes it a little more difficult.
And then just Sean is kind of standoffish to begin with, like when he pushes Marco to the side when they're having lunch.
I died. I was like, this is so funny for no reason. Like, he didn't need to do that, like, at all.
But yeah, I think they're so cute. And I like they're not very long-lived relationship, but I'm really glad that they connected and they were able to kind of help each other through things.
Not long lived, but then they literally live together.
Yeah, they do.
Which is crazy. I like them as a couple though. I feel like they're kind of cute. They're one of my favorite for like a minute.
Better than Sean and Emma?
Honestly, right now, yes. Because Emma's doing nothing for Sean.
True. But yeah, I think we'll have more to talk about them in season 4 because that's when they literally live together. So anything else for Ellie?
Nope, that's all I got.
Okay, so now let's finish things up with Sean.
It's a long one.
Yeah. So summary for him is that we talked about how he was spending less time with Emma because of Snake's whole situation. And then he kind of ends up connecting with Jay because Radich like calls him out for like potentially breaking into the vending machine when it was Jay. So Sean gets mad at Jay, but then they have a tiff and then they work things out. And then Sean, since he's being isolated from Emma, he kind of chooses to hang out with Jay and crew because he doesn't really have anybody else to hang out with. So after a failed makeout session in the ravine, he breaks up with Emma pretty brutally. And then he kind of has this whole bad boy persona with stealing things, specifically Snake's new laptop. And then he is like the local Slim Shady. So then the next thing is Emma's crusade against him, which ends with him getting the Saturday detention, where he ends up getting together with Ellie. So then once he's together with Ellie, his brother announces that he got a new job really far away. So he has to move the next day, which would make him lose his whole year. But then his shop teacher kind of vouches for him that he could live by himself and get student welfare. I don't really know like the legalities of how that works or like how realistic it is, but Sean ends up living alone. And of course, as any like 15, 16 year old boy would do when he lives alone, he does not take care of himself and has too many parties. So it kind of messes with his grades that he is not being able to study because there's a party at his house every day. And then at some point, a party gets out of hand where his ex-girlfriend, Amy, like gets alcohol poisoning and the cops are called. And then that kind of is a wake-up call for him to kind of get his shit together and like start actually taking care of himself and doing well in school and such. And he has a slight falling out with Jay in this episode too, because Jay is just like, we just want to party, bro. So then from there, the last episode of the season is that Sean is about to fail his media merchants class, and Snake decides to help him out a little bit to like push his grade up a few points so that he'll pass. So then Sean feels guilty about the fact that he stole Snake's computer. So Snake gets super mad when he confesses. And in order to make up for it, Sean tells Snake that he will fix Snake's car for free. So they kind of reconcile in that way. And Sean ends the season happy.
Okay. So when they introduced Jay, JT is literally like, that man is 100% psychotic. So that was a great intro to just who Jay is as a person. I mean, like, it was inevitable that Sean was eventually going to hang out with Jay. I kind of liked how long it took for him to get there, honestly. But then it happened. So, I don't know.
Yeah, like, it made sense that Sean got embroiled with all this stuff. Because, like, his brother was being a huge dick with, like, sexiling him from the house, and then he's losing time with Emma. And then what I thought the breaking point was when Radich confronted him about the vending machine.
Yes, definitely, I agree, because it definitely was stereotyping. Like, I think that Radich was, I don't want to say he was going after the poor kid, because that's like what Sean said, but he, I don't know, it was kind of just wrong place, wrong time, but also Radish doesn't like Sean to begin with.
Yeah. Well, I think we already talked about in season two how Sean is so insecure about being poor. And that's why he like stormed out of that dinner when Spike kind of implies that he doesn't have food. Yeah. So like when Radish confronts him and is like, oh, you're poor and therefore you must have stolen a vending machine or broken into a vending machine. Like, that kind of brings up all his insecurities that like, oh, of course I'm going to be a bad person because like, even if I didn't actually do anything bad, people still believe that of me. So then he kind of embraces that because with nothing else going well in his life, he's like, oh, I might as well embrace this identity that people are throwing on me.
It makes sense. It's sad, but it definitely makes sense because he tried so hard to just not, you know, he came to this new school. He didn't really talk about like what happened in his old school. Did he though? I'm trying to think. Cause now I'm thinking about how he told Jay, and Jay was like, oh, you're the kid who like made that kid deaf in one ear.
Mm-hmm.
But did they bring it up earlier? Did we know about that?
I think that was in season one that we learned about that.
Oh, okay. So that was a while ago. Sorry. But yeah, now it's like coming back. It's like, you should be rolling with us because you obviously harm people, even though Sean was trying not to be that.
Yeah. So, like, even though it's awful to see, it makes sense that he fell into with Jay.
Yeah. I also have no idea how old Jay is. I don't know anything about Jay. Alex hasn't said a single word this whole season. Like,
Alex has the little fight with Emma, though, in that one episode.
That is very true. You are right. It leads to that, finally.
Even though stealing Simpson's laptop was awful, it just showed, like, how mad he was at, like, his whole situation and the whole situation with Emma, because it wasn't even Jay's idea to steal a laptop. Like, they were going to steal like a keyboard, I think.
Yeah.
Then Sean is like, oh, actually, let's steal the laptop. So like, he purposefully was like, let's go after Emma and Simpson because I'm pissed at Emma.
So shitty. Did not enjoy that. But then he like gaslit the hell out of Emma the whole time. He was like, I would never do that. That's not who I am. Blah, blah, blah. But then he like was doing that. So liar.
Mm-hmm. Like we already said how like Emma should have stayed in her lane and he deserved to be pissed off at Emma, but like, yeah, he was just being not a good person for a while.
No, and the only thing is that I don't think Emma was doing it for the right reasons, obviously, because there's like the right reasons to like actually care, but then she even like has that slip up where she's like, now I got back at Sean, like, for what he did to me. I mean, Simpson. They're like, yeah, we knew the whole time that you were just just trying to screw Sean over.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying, yeah, no, he's still a bad person for stealing shit, though.
Yeah. But then he does kind of get a little redemption arc towards the end of the season, like, pretty much after he gets with Ellie.
Yeah, that's kind of what I said. I was like, he's kind of a garbage person until he, like, gets with Ellie. with Ellie and him, it's interesting, but I think it's really just because Ellie actually cares about Sean. Like, if Emma's like a good influence on Sean, you know, Emma's a good person, like she does her work, she does her homework, whatever, but she doesn't do any of those things anymore. So then like he fell with the wrong crowd, but then Ellie kind of pulled him out of it a little bit.
Well, I was thinking about this because I think even when Sean was dating Emma, like not in this season, like people were saying how, yes, Emma's such a good influence on you, Sean. And now that Ellie's with him, people are like, oh, Ellie's such a good influence on you, Sean. So I was thinking about how, like, it kind of comes off a little bit like Sean needs somebody to keep him in line, which shouldn't really be the job of like his significant other to do that.
That's true, for sure. At like 14, especially.
Yeah. Like, he shouldn't need like someone to keep him in line. But it's kind of a slippery slope because like Sean should be doing good for himself, but also having someone to help him out is going to help him, you know?
I think it kind of just goes along with anything though. Because like if you have good friends that are a good influence on you, like that's fine. He just happened to have shitty friends who are not a good influence on him because he didn't really have any other friends besides like Toby and JT, and they had their own thing going on, so that didn't really leave him with anyone. And him and Jimmy had that like huge blowout like all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of out too, so he really didn't have anyone left. So I can kind of understand the whole like, if he's gonna have a significant other and like no one else, at least let the significant other be not Amy and be someone like worthwhile.
Yeah. Like, I do think it's good that like having someone actually believe in him is important. That like, this is kind of similar to Bianca, where like Audra believed in Bianca and that kind of made her want to do better for herself. And now like Ellie believes in him, and when Emma wasn't being awful, Emma believed in him. So that kind of made him want to do better for himself.
That's a good point. Yeah, him and Bianca definitely have that like connection.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Especially like after the whole house party thing and like when it got out of hand. Like, of course it went out of hand because he's like 15, 16 living alone. But it was after that, it was really great to see him like fighting for his future, which we haven't really seen him do in a while. Like, I was thinking about, like, in that season two episode where he gets drunk at Jimmy's party, pretty much from there, Sean has been, like, on a downward spiral.
Yeah. I mean, his shop teacher's, like, kind of trying to help out.
Mm-hmm.
But even he's not, like, the best. Like, he just, not that he wasn't the best, he just wasn't featured enough for us to see if he were to actually have an impact. But I do like that Sean finally like takes things into his own hands and realizes like, I need to turn my life around because I do not want to be going down the path that like Jay is just like existing and being gross.
I do think the shop teacher was really great. Like, of course he could have been featured more, but it like, he went to a teacher, you know, which is
yes.
we always complain about people not going to teachers. So we're going to commend him for going to a teacher and getting actual help, so that he could like finish his year and actually like do good things for himself. It breaks my heart though, how Sean is like, I want to be the first person to graduate high school in my family. And then he doesn't.
Stop. Well, he goes into the army, right?
Yeah. But he didn't graduate high school. I hate that.
No, he didn't. But it's also like a better option than him dropping out.
He did drop out though.
But to join the army, not to just like be like a loser.
Yeah, I guess we could talk about that when we get to it.
But it's, no, I totally understand what you're saying though, because it did mean a lot to him to graduate and then he didn't.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was like, it kind of showed when he came clean to Snake, it showed like his growth from the beginning of the season.
Yeah, no, he definitely had that. So he had rock bottom in the season.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else for Sean?
I did want to talk briefly about Jay. Like, how do you feel about Jay and his presence throughout the season?
I hate him, which means they do a great job.
Yeah, he is a great villain. And he's like, he's very charismatic as a villain. Like you can't help but to hate him, you know?
Yep. I just don't know how old he's supposed to be. Who is he? I don't know. And then I think about how him and Manny end up like, I'm like, what is going on? Like, first of all, Jay, you already look like you're 20, so calm down. Second of all, I feel like we don't ever get anything about Jay, right? Like, we never really learn about his home life or anything.
I think we do way later on, but nothing like soon.
Yeah, so right now, Jay is just the villain.
Yeah.
And that's fine, because he does a great job.
Mm-hmm. Like we said, his friendship with Sean makes sense, even though we really don't want it to. But I feel like every school kind of has that like bad boy group or like bad boy squad who like are causing havoc, you know?
Yes. Yeah, they have their own, and then with them stealing shit, I just like couldn't believe that Raditz like couldn't do anything about it until Emma had to lie, but whatever. No, they're totally shitty people. But he also like treats Sean with like respect. And that's really like what Sean is just looking for, is somebody to like treat him or take him in. And Jay does it, even though at first they don't like each other, but then Jay turns it around. And I kind of like that about Jay.
Yeah, it's just someone who like understands Sean's situation. And when like nobody is like even making an effort to understand where he's coming from.
Yep, totally. And him and Ellie are like a different type of like outcast that works together. Whereas like Ellie would not fit with Jay, obviously.
No.
Like that was the Amy thing. So I kind of like that they have like different types of outcasts like coming together.
Sean and Jay's friendship is just like that weird thing that boys could literally have a fist fight and then be completely fine 2 seconds later.
That's so true. I don't know. I don't understand like what Sean felt. Like, I don't know why Sean wanted to be a part of Jay's group when Jay was treating him so shitty. Like, he was still going up and helping them with the car thing even before they were friendly. And I don't know if it was just to like establish dominance or just like whatever, but it was strange. And then they became friends. So I don't know. Guys are weird.
Yeah. I think it's mostly that like Sean internalizing being poor thing.
Yes. That's very true. Oh, we love Sean.
Yes.
He's great.
Anything else for anybody here?
No, I feel like we talked a lot about Emma, but it was fair because Emma had a lot this season. I don't know if you brought this up last episode or if you brought this up while we like were talking in general about how they never show Emma and Sean unless they're like about to break up or fighting.
Yeah.
And this episode really just, or the season really embodied that one. So I just wanted to mention that. But otherwise, I am good.
So we're going to close out season 3 in our next episode with Marco, Terry, Paige, Spinner, Jimmy, and Hazel.
I'm so excited to talk about Marco.
Yes, he's probably my favorite of the season, honestly.
He's a great season.
Yes. So thanks for listening, and we'll see you soon.